This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 672 with guest Aaron Lawrence, recorded on February 19th, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Cawson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a blustery, although not as blustery as Canada, Bellevue, Nebraska. Aaron, are you doing okay? You haven't frozen over yet, have you?
I have frozen over and I'm not okay. It's minus 26 today. It's not Yikes. Good, Jim. I can't lie.
All right, we're sending heat your way. Somehow, I'm not sure how we're doing that. It's snowing here in Bellevue. We've got a couple inches of snow on the ground, a little cold. But you know what? We'll have some world-class show notes with all the links to everything we talk about. You want to head out for this show, you want to head out to the show notes because a lot of Aaron's links will be out there for her YouTube content out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers, those of you who support the network each and every month. Appreciate that. If you want to join that team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Thanks if you're clicking through the link, the Amazon affiliate link at theaverageguy.tv. Just head out there, click on the red link. It'll take you right through. You guys know how to do that if you want to do that as well. And then, Aaron, I got a question for you. When do you think was the best time to invest in crypto? What do you think? When was the best time to invest in crypto, do you think, if you were to make a guess?
8 years ago?
8 years. 8, 10 years ago. Yeah, that would have been a good. When do you think is the second best time to invest?
Is it right now?
It's right. You are so good at this game. You are so good at this game right now. You know, prices are off. If you've been following the crypto market at all, we're down a lot.
Buy low, sell high.
A lot. Right now is a good time to think about it. And because of that, crypto or Coinbase is doing another promotion. There's an affiliate link. If you go to theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase, again, that's theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase. You start a new account at Coinbase, make a $20 trade, they'll give you $30. Not a bad deal if you want to give it a try. Spend their money. Like, you know, you'll need to put a little
bit money
in. Spend their money. It's better than gambling. I'm not sure if that's true. Check it out today, theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase if you want to jump in there. I mentioned it before. Aaron Lawrence is back. Aaron, great to have you. TechGadgetsInternational.com and Aaron Lawrence on YouTube. Welcome.
Thank you, Jim. Always, always good to be here with you and your fabulous audience.
Yeah, good to have you back. You mentioned it. You're back home. Things are good. Are things well? How's Roger? Is he okay?
Roger is good. He's okay. Yeah, he's been working hard lots too. And we've both been hunkered down inside. There's been no dog walks the last couple of days because it's too cold. They won't go outside, you know, for all but necessary functions. And
no, right on.
So we're hoping that breaks in the next couple of days.
That doesn't affect their health or anything like that, does it, through the winter? Do they get a little depressed? Do they need sunshine? Do you do anything like natural lighting for them or anything like that?
They certainly do get needy. We're fortunate that our living room gets a lot of natural light so they can kind of lay in there and, you know, feel like they're outside without the cold. But we walk them twice a day, morning and night. And you know, at the appointed times every day, there is a dog like right in your face going, hello, it's time. And then they step outside 5 steps and it's like they're on 2 paws and you got to turn around and go back.
Do you have a lot of snow on the ground or is it just cold?
Yeah, no, we got a lot of snow in the last couple of days. I'd say we have about 4 or 5 inches probably.
Okay. Good enough. We have winter. One or two. I'm not going to clear it till tomorrow afternoon at this point.
Wait for it to melt
tomorrow. Yeah, no, I called in. I'm like, hey, I'm working for home tomorrow and we'll just get it done that way. It's not too bad. It'll be, you know, melted before we know it. Brian out in the chat room says, sounds like from the weather report, you both need a vacation to the Phoenix area.
Oh.
High of 61, low of 43. Those are in Fahrenheit. I can't do the conversion to Celsius.
Warmer than Calgary is the conversion.
Yeah, when you're saying negative in Celsius, you know it's bad. Well, good to have you back. Last time you were on, we got you about halfway through. So I was like, okay, let's load things up. It's post CES. Let me ask, how was CES for you?
It was really good, actually. I had I made a promise to myself where I wasn't going to try and do everything like I usually do every year. So I had a little bit of work I had to do, and then I took some time to just really wander around, look at some of the new tech, meet some people, you know, say hi to some brands that I've always wanted to collaborate with and try their products. So, I think at least one of the products we're hopefully going to get to today, but it was a good show. Lots of new stuff and, you know, 22,000 steps a day trying to get around the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Yeah.
So
yeah. $100 hamburgers. I can't.
And $100 hamburgers.
Right. I mean, just, I can't imagine. It was years ago. It's been 15 years, maybe 10, 12, 15 years since I've been to CES. And I just remember super expensive hamburgers. Your knees hurt at the end of the day from just walking around. Would there have, for you, would there have been kind of a, I had TJ Huddleston a couple weeks ago, and he was out there with the HomeTech.fm crew. Was there a theme that you saw through CES? I mean, what was the long time ago, of course, the giant TVs were, the couple years I was there, giant TVs, right, were the stuff. What did you see there, or anything that you saw there you think that's, this is kind of the theme of where we're going in 2026?
For sure, it had to be AI. Everybody's either building actual AI into their products and devices, or they're finding a way to make it sound like it's got AI and they're just tacking that label on it. So everything's kind of AI powered or AI supported, you know, that kind of stuff. TVs are always a big story. I think they're easy to see as flashy and fun and interesting. And there's kind of always something new down that pipeline. So there was a lot of TVs that I saw that were pretty cool. But probably AI. I think we're going to start seeing at least the AI label on pretty much any kind of gadget.
So everybody's kind of thinking the AI bubble will burst at some point, right? I mean, it's, everybody's talking about it. We're just kind of waiting for it. Do you think that'll change when the bubble bursts and folks will pull? Remember when 3D was everything, you know, a couple years ago, three, four, it was this in 3D and that in 3D. Nobody's doing any 3D stuff.
Right.
Do you think AI's got that short of a lifespan when the bubble bursts?
I think it'll change. I don't know what it might change into, but I think the thing for me at least, and I think for a lot of average consumers, is the AI has to be helpful and meaningful. It can't just be like, it's an AI powered coffee maker. It's like, well, what is that going to do for me? And how is it going to make my life better, easier, you know, smarter?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to go from everything gets an AI label to you're going to have to justify what the AI is doing in your product.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, along those lines, Tony Rayner on chat says, I hope it does so I can afford hard drives and memory again. Right. I
mean, oh yeah.
This AI craze is driving up the price of all these gadgets in some regard. There's some game systems that have been put on hold because the memory is just too expensive. They can't make them now like they wanted to. CPU processors, anything with a GPU.
Flash drives, SSDs,
forget it,
like
right?
all
and
that.
Yeah,
yep.
And it's right. It's affected the hard drive market from that standpoint. So I think, though, I think if you're a smart consumer, and I know you're a smart consumer, I think maybe you hold off on a few things because they may get cheaper. At some point, right? You and I in pre-show, we were talking a little bit about bourbon. And I know that's a surprise to the regular listeners that I was talking about bourbon. But, you know, there's bourbon prices in the United States are coming down because there's more supply than there is demand at this point, you know, both globally and here in the U.S. All of a sudden, the millennials, the young or the old, or the young millennials and the Gen Zers, they're like, we're not drinking anymore.
Yeah.
And so do you think in the tech space, do you think it'll bounce back like that? Do you have any hope of that?
I think it will. And the more, of course, that we come to rely on AI and we need data centers and we need chips and we need memory and we need all of that stuff. I mean, businesses are going to find a way to scale that stuff up and respond. You know, does it look like hell for the next probably 2 to 4 years? Probably. Are we going to be paying top dollar for stuff that used to be so cheap and plentiful, you know, you practically had to give it away?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Do you think we'll use some of this equipment a little bit longer? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at a 7-year-old laptop that I didn't have any use for. It's kind of sitting there. I thought maybe I'll make a file server out of this thing, right?
Right.
It'll do it. I mean, for some of the stuff that I need, or, you know, I custom built a gaming rig a few years ago, and all of a sudden now I'm thinking like, well, maybe I hold on to that gaming rig a little bit longer. Do you think we'll hold on? Like, there's a lot of folks that complain about the consumerism of some of this IT stuff and how quickly right. we go through it and the waste. Could this help with that, do you think?
I think so. I mean, if all of this, you know, the data heavy needs that we're getting as a society, if that keeps pace and it drives the price of, you know, your smartphone, your iPhone, or Android phone up by like 25%, I mean, those are already $1,000, $2,000, some of them, for the high-end flagship smartphones. So like tack on another 25% to that, I think it puts it out of reach for a lot of people. I mean, when technology is cheap, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'll upgrade my phone every year because I can. And, you know, I can trade in the old one and upgrade and it's not that much more expensive and I get X, Y, or Z toys with it. I think going forward though, as things creep up in price, I think definitely you're going to see a lot of people wanting to hang on to, you know, their iPhones for an extra year or two, or, you know, their laptops for a few more, or like you suggested, smart idea, turning your excess devices or your older devices you may have just into storage if you need it.
Yeah. I had, you know, I'd had an iPhone 12 up until just, I don't know, 6 months ago, and it was great. Batteries, you know, we worked out the battery gate thing with Apple and they stopped artificially, whatever, right? You know, and I was like, hey, this phone may last for a while, and I was going to hold on to it until I bought those AirPod Pro 3s, and I wanted to pair it so I could do some translations stuff. And then like, well, you got to be on the phone. And I kind of glad I did. I mean, certainly iPhone prices, it's a little more expensive than it was just a few years ago, but now I'm kind of thinking I look like a genius because I bought an iPhone last year, right? You know? And so it's one of those things. You're just like, hey, I'm the smartest guy in the world by not buying technology at this point. So
100%.
Do you think there's any spaces, as you were looking at CES, do you think there's any spaces that aren't affected by any of these? Or do you think, as you're reviewing, we're going to go through a whole bunch of reviews, do you think everybody's affected by it?
I mean, there's chips in everything now, right? Like even stuff that used to be simple, like a smart light, which, you know, used to be basically on, off, and colors, but everything's got smarts now. So it's hard to say. You know, I would hope that some of the simpler devices like lights and lighting wouldn't be affected. You know, simple things like if you've got, you know, we might be talking about a portable coffee gadget, like something like that, you wouldn't think would be affected. But the more we keep trying to put the smarts and the AI into all this stuff to justify the higher prices and, you know, I don't know.
I set up some of those outdoor permanent lighting rigs for my house, which, by the way, I love. Like, it's amazing, those.
Which brand did you get?
Bright Colors Le Pro, if I'm pronouncing that right. Le Pro.
Yep.
And they're fantastic. They set up easy, but it's got a big old brick, both for the power, which I'm, and then for the on-off switch and some smarts, right? It's got to have a Wi-Fi connector in there, right? Yep. It's available via Wi-Fi. It can control those lights from anywhere, which was a big change from just a few years ago where some of those home lighting were Bluetooth only. Mm-hmm. So you had to be in the proximity, right, from that standpoint. But I would say lighting may be one of those areas that, I don't know why it keeps doing this, one of the lighting may be one of those areas where it's not as effective, but maybe the whole ecosystem's getting pushed up. Certainly,
right?
Those, I did 300 feet or 150 feet of lighting. That's a $300 setup, right? If you're gonna do something like that.
So well, and at CES, Govee, who I think we've talked about before, they have something called, I want to say it's called DaySync. That they're adding, again, they're adding all these chips and these smarts and this AI power to its lighting systems so that you can basically connect all of your lights together. You're connecting the lights together and running them out of one app so you can kind of get things running together, but it will actually link them together and run them so that everything is actually in sync with everything else. So things are getting pretty complicated.
Yeah, they are indeed. Speaking of complicated, we continue to have this issue with Restream. I do not know what's going on. I'm a little concerned as we get to your setup with your videos that you're gonna drop in the middle of it. We'll keep giving it a try. I may need to contact them. For the last couple of weeks, it's been me that's been dropping out, and so that was kind of easy. Here, I'm going to switch sides with you as we do this. Maybe the sides will make a difference.
We'll try.
So if you're listening live, be patient with us. I can fix a lot of this in post, but be patient with us as we move forward. Okay. The very first thing I want to look at, I mentioned this to you as we were going through this, that I have an original Ring doorbell. Like, we've had the guys from Ring on here. Jamie Siminoff was on a long time ago before he was a big deal. Yeah, before he was a big deal. And we've been talking about Ring for a long time. I have one of like the old OG doorbells that, it's doing okay, but it's to the point now where the plastic around the camera is starting to crack. And I actually thought at one point that was, you know how they put that film on new gear? Mm-hmm. And it's so satisfying to peel off. I never peeled off the.
Oh.
So I went to grab it. No, it wasn't that. It was the. So now the side is all kind of crinkly because I did that. But 1080p doorbells cams were the biggest thing for a while. But now we're thinking seriously, 4K for my doorbell. Talk a little bit about this.
I have been waiting for this for years, and I'm surprised it took Ring this long to get to it. But I guess when you think about the bandwidth needed for the storage, the power that you need to run these cameras, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that, you know, I as a consumer wouldn't be privy to. So that's why it's taken so long. But 4K cameras are here, and Ring has launched, I think it's 4 new 4K cameras in its lineup. They are all hardwired or AC powered. There are no battery operated 4K cameras from Ring right now. So if you're thinking of upgrading, you do have to have the wiring in place already. I got a chance to try out the 4K doorbell, and I was really interested in, is it going to be that much different? Is it going to be that much better? Yes, the resolution is going to be better, or that's what they say, but what kind of differences is it going to make in my house? So I installed one, gave it a try for several weeks, and was actually pretty impressed with the resolution quality. There are some caveats, which we can get into, because it's not perfect. But there's quite a few improvements. In addition to the 4K resolution, they're now bundling, I guess they call it a chime speaker, a little hardwired chime speaker that you can wire to your in-house doorbell chime, the thing that's up on the wall by the ceiling. So you can connect a speaker now to that so that you're not just reliant on your doorbell ringing on your phone. It'll actually ring inside the house, which is kind of new. Used to be you had to pay for an extra speaker to get it to ring inside the house. And I know Ring is both a noun and a verb, and it's getting very confusing. So I'll stop there. Hit me with questions.
that's true. No, a lot more options on screen. We were showing you had some words up, you know, you had a piece of paper with some words that were out there. You're trying to get the resolution. Is it good enough? I mean, is the 4K worth the squeeze for, and I'm assuming the prices haven't gone up that much, but I'm assuming this 4K is selling for a little bit more than the old 1080p camera.
It is more expensive, definitely. What I found was, like, there's definitely more sharpness to the video quality. The overall video quality is much clearer. You notice it mainly on what I'll just say is the wide shot. So the main view out of your doorbell camera, it's going to look a bit sharper. It's going to look a bit fresher. The color and the night vision is also a lot improved. So if you have one of the older doorbells where at night it's kind of black and white and grainy, you're going to get better nighttime pictures as well. What I found though, when I zoomed in, so you're supposed to have far improved zoom on these new 4K doorbells. They're saying, you know, you could zoom into a license plate or something like that if you ever needed to. So I set up a bunch of tests where I sort of set up an easel at 3, 5, and 10 feet, and then just set it in front of the doorbell and then tried to zoom in to read the text at those distances. And what I found was, surprisingly, once you zoom in on the original 1080p or the 4K, you still couldn't really read anything. So really depends. This is what I found. It depends what you want your doorbell to do for you. If you're going to be trying to zoom into license plates across the street, doesn't matter if it's 4K or 1080p, it's not going to work. If you just want better quality of what's going on your front porch, on your doorstep, yes, it'll give you that. And particularly at night, the night video is much better quality and it's in color now, which helps a lot as well.
Why do you think, what's the, how does the color help?
Well, I think if you have to identify stuff,
Oh, I got you.
if
We're showing that right
somebody,
now on screen, right? The old night vision that's black and white versus the night vision that's color.
yeah, if you had somebody who was, nefarious, I know there's a big case going on right now, in the US with Savannah Guthrie's mother. Doorbell camera figured very prominently into that, in helping them try to find a suspect for it. So any amount of better detail I think you can get from a doorbell camera like that when you need it, is going to help. So I think the camera video in that particular situation, in that particular case, was just black and white. But if they could have got color video, like what more would they have been able to glean? And might that have triggered something that someone saw, when they released the photo out to the media? So, those are kind of extreme cases. And for most of us, we're using the doorbell to identify the mail carrier and seeing what's getting delivered on the doorstep. But when you need it, you need it.
One of the things I've been noticing, and I haven't upgraded any equipment, but they have upgraded their AI recognition of what's on the camera,
Yes.
right? And so now it's saying, hey, there's actually somebody on your porch delivering a package. Or, and Tony mentioned this in chat, they kind of rolled out this lost pet, right? Now, this is not unlike, now, Ring is an Amazon company, and Amazon tried to do some of this with lost items, tracking them through, I forget what they called
Sidewalk.
that, Sidewalk. So this is not their first attempt at that. I'm not sure that went over really well from people like, hey, you're just going to turn on my Ring cam and look for pets. But I have noticed their AI has gotten a lot better of recognizing things. Did you look at that as well?
I did. Yeah, that's actually, we were talking about AI and people just slapping AI onto things when it doesn't actually mean anything. In this case, I was really impressed at what AI does bring. The AI generated summaries that you can get now are so helpful. I mean, it used to be that anytime there was motion in front of the door or it detected a person, you'd get those alerts to your phone, but it's like, well, who is the person? What are they doing? Are they holding a pickaxe or a package? Like, now I got to open the app and find out. Whereas with the AI generated summaries, Ring's AI is actually really, really good at getting granular at what it's seeing in front of the camera and pushing that to your phone. So it'll now tell you, a person with a dog wearing a blue hat is knocking at your door. It's like, oh, my mother-in-law is here. Great. You know what's going on. Or, a person is delivering a package to your door. Whereas before, like I said, you had to open up the app and try and figure it out for yourself. This way, when you get those summaries coming to you, you can give it a quick glance at your phone and then decide if you need to open it up. You don't have to open it every time. So I've found those really accurate and really helpful.
We saw on the video, I'm assuming he consented to this, but we saw Roger in the pictures there coming through. Do you think facial recognition is in the car, in the cards, or do you think after the situation they had with the pets, they're kind of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be keeping track of people? Would you opt into some facial recognition to say, hey, I authorize these faces to alert me or something along those lines?
Yeah, that's a feature called Familiar Faces from Ring. And yes, I will. I am going to opt into it to try it out. I know there are people that have privacy concerns about it. I think, though, like for us around this house, again, if I can further refine those notifications that I'm getting to my phone and it's not, man in blue jacket approaching your door, it's Roger is home. Well, fantastic. Like now I don't need to pick up my phone at all. I know exactly what's going on. So the thing about familiar faces, I haven't had a chance to try it yet. I'm trying to get opted into the program because I don't think it's fully rolled out yet.
Well, there's some talk really, of subscription fees going up for that as well. I think I saw something from them, right? So it's in a little bit of beta now. You can try some stuff. And then I fully think we're going to pay, we're definitely going to pay more money for it when they are rolling it out for sure.
Oh, definitely. There's already a tier for that. I think Ring's highest tier, they've relabeled it like the AI Pro plan or something like that.
Of course.
And it's $30 a month. So, I mean, you're spending 300 and some odd dollars a year just to have, well, not just for the AI, but like AI powered cameras, facial recognition, all of that stuff. One of the things though, that the recognition, it's not so much the facial recognition, but they've also used the AI to really improve search. So if you want to, you know, say there's a missing child in your neighborhood and they were last seen wearing a pink hat, blue jacket, you know, white shorts, you can actually type that into your camera search feed and it'll find it for you. I tested this out, like looking for somebody with a pink hat. Boom, it pops a person with a pink hat who passed in front of my camera, right in front of my feed. And, you know, the possibilities for how that could be very helpful are out there. And the lost pet thing, I think, is kind of like the warm, fuzzy way of saying, like, you know, we all might want to help our neighbors out, right? What if they lost their dog and you could find it?
Right.
And they have built some privacy provisions into that. From what I understand with those features, I'm hoping to like do videos about those specific features in the next couple weeks. Okay. But it's not that it's not that Ring's going to just take your video and say, hey, your dog's at Aaron's house. It's going to surface that video to you and say, hey, there's a lost pet report in your neighborhood. Here's something your doorbell camera caught. You be the judge of it and then decide what to do with it.
Yeah.
And then it allows you to sort of reach out and connect to that neighbor who has the lost pet, or maybe there's a missing child or whatever, like I said. So it's less Ring kind of using your cameras to spy on everything on the neighborhood, and more, I think they're trying to be thoughtful about putting the power in your hands about how you use it. So
I'm not, it's interesting. I'm not sure they PR'd the way into this thing very well. I think they kind of were like, this, everybody will love this. And then some folks were like, this takes CCTV to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know,
well, and they did auto opt in everyone to the sidewalk thing initially, if I remember correctly.
That didn't go over very well.
And like that stuff never plays well. Like always, you got to give people the chance to take part and know that you're probably going to have a very small percentage of people that will actually opt in.
Yeah.
But you know, it's probably not worth the PR backlash.
As you find, okay. So in our, we have a Facebook group for our neighborhood, so to speak. Right. And there's neighborhood apps and all those other kinds of things. But what's worked here in this area is a Facebook group. And they're constantly like, hey, my dog's missing, or hey, I found this dog here right now. Those are all opt-in. That's people choosing to take a picture, put it on there, right? Those kinds of things. But I could see a real, you know, like as you were mentioning it, a real like, hey, I'm going to opt-in to even be included. And then before I authorize anything, if the AI sees something that's matching a publicly posted missing thing, whatever, right? Because that's an API that's open on the Ring side to be, right? You can subscribe to that if you want to. And you could say, hey, if my AI, if my camera and its search matches something that's close, surface that, like you said, surface that so that I can put that, I can choose to, do I want to then connect with the other person and say, hey, I'm, your dog has shown up on my Ring cam. This was at this time in this area. Mm-hmm. But Tony's right in chat. He says, they're turning your data over to the police, right? This is a this is a big concern, right? What gets used? How does this get used? Well, can it be used in a subpoena, right? To your point about Guthrie, the you know, this gal who's been, well, we don't know what's happened to her. Does that automatically, and then what else is on that is may or may not be incriminating, right? To you and your doorbell.
And the interesting thing about that whole situation, the Guthrie case, the doorbell was apparently disconnected, and she wasn't, from what I understand, she wasn't like paying for the service to have cloud recording enabled, was what it sounded like to me.
Okay.
And yet, despite not paying for the service and having the camera disconnected, presumably by the person who came to the door, they were still able to recover enough footage to put out to the media. So, I mean, I think I'm someone who spent most of my career in broadcast television. Yeah. Every camera's hot, every mic is on. Like that was just, that's the way you have to react. And I mean, we put these cameras in our homes. We've got these smart speakers that have microphones and cameras in them. I think you have to assume they are always listening. Now, what are they doing with that information? Are they serving me ads? Is it going somewhere that I don't know? You don't know, but.
It's a whole nother question.
Now we're going down a rabbit hole.
We are. I was doing a podcast one time, and I think we were on Google Hangouts at the time. So this was a while ago, and I had stopped recording, and it did not stop streaming to YouTube. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes that you say stop.
Yeah.
And then you think you're chatting with a guest and, you know, I try to your point, every camera's hot, every mic is on. Right. And so you're kind of like, oh, you have to be careful, but sometimes you still say things. And so it is, I think overwhelming for the folks who listen to this show. I think they're going to be super skeptical of features like this. Me personally, I like them, just to be honest. Given the right permissions, given the right, I've always been easy to give up some of those things when it benefits the community, whether it's a lost dog or a lost person, like, you know, an older person gets out and they don't know where they're at or whatever. If I had a camera, if I got two of them that face the street, if one of them is good enough, and then, you know, stop a crime or help in a crime, you know, I want to contribute to that if I can. So I just want to be able to control it right from there.
So, and I'm really hoping, like I said, I want to get hands-on with some of these features and try them out and see how it feels. I mean, I may try this familiar faces feature out and just be like, you know what? It's too creepy for me. I don't want to know what Roger's home. Like all of it. I don't know, but I want to give it a fair shake before I decide.
Can you say that in your reporting with Ring? Do you feel like you could say if you were creeped out by it, you would say on YouTube?
And I have. There are, Ring got hacked. Oh gosh, it was probably about 10 years ago now. Do you remember that? Where people were able to hack into their cameras and essentially, you know, watch people doing whatever in their homes. At that time I did a video and I was like, you know, I love the Ring doorbell camera, but guys, like, get your ducks in a row, please. That's not cool.
No, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting indeed. And we've got more and more of these, you know, kinds of things going in and now in 4K. So
yes. Like,
right. Some of that. Well, we'll move on from that. Speaking of 4K, you've got a couple, I'll say this before we move on. If you want to follow Erin Lawrence on YouTube, find her, subscribe to her channel. There's more of this coming up. You're going to want to watch her videos anyways on this. I'll have the link to that channel on theaverageguy.tv posted for this show, HGG 672. Okay. Let's talk. So Amazon, and I'm assuming this was at CES, but they announced an art TV. Talk a little bit about what is an art TV.
Yeah. So this was one of my favorite things I saw at CES. So Amazon essentially announced it's doing its own version of a frame TV. So art TVs are televisions that act as low light, low energy art, I guess, in your home when you're not using them. And then you can spark them up to a very high quality, brighter 4K TV when you want to watch TV. So the great thing about these, and I love this category, love, love, love it, is that, you know, you can put a TV in your living room and it doesn't look like a TV in your living room. It's not a giant black hole that's, you know, sucking your decor into the void. So I love the category. I've been a huge fan of the Samsung Frame TV. Up until the last one that I reviewed, the Samsung Frame TV Pro, I think we talked about that last time. Yeah, I am no longer a fan.
Oh, no.
But I digress.
Yes.
Back to the Amazon Ember Art line. This looks like a really cool TV, and I think they're doing a lot of things right with it. They're bundling a frame or a bezel, like a wood frame or a colored bezel with it, which Samsung right now makes you pay extra for. They're saying they're going to include a lot of art without a subscription, which again, Samsung makes you pay about $70 Canadian per year for. So there's a lot of companies actually that have come up right now and they're really trying to eat Samsung's lunch on the art TV front. And I am here for it. I am sitting in the theater with the popcorn going, let's have it. Bring it on.
Wow, that's a strong statement. I mean, what yes. What really turned you off to the Samsung stuff?
The Frame TV Pro, there's just so much about it that's either glitchy or not ideal or a downgrade from the original Frame TV. I mean, there's so many things wrong with it that I called my review 7 Things I Hate About the Frame TV Pro. It was that bad,
yes.
In my opinion. So, yeah. Okay. Like I said, I was a huge fan of the Frame TV up until that one. I bought the Pro with my own money. I put it up on my wall and I have nothing but regret. So it's really got me excited though about all of the other art TVs that are available. And we can certainly jump into that. I saw a lot of them at CES, but there's probably 3 or 4 or 5 companies now that are all in this art TV space. And I can't wait to get hands on with them.
I switched over. Let me, I'm going to copy this and put it in the chat as well. So folks can watch this live. Who else is in this space? I mean, what other companies are doing this?
Yeah, primarily. So Amazon was the newest one that just jumped in and they just announced that at CES. I don't think their TVs are shipping until the spring. Okay. Hisense has a Canvas TV, which is a similar idea. TCL has an art TV called Next Vision, and LG is doing what it calls the wallpaper TV. They've actually got a couple different versions of an art TV. And as the name wallpaper TV might imply, it's the whole TV is not wider than a pencil.
Oh, wow.
So it is literally so thin that it just like, it hangs like wallpaper. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Energy wise, are these, because it's just showing a static picture, are these any more efficient than a regular TV, or are you still burning through the watts when you have a picture up?
It's lower power when you're just doing the art, because obviously it's a static display and most of them will have adjustable light output. So they'll kind of dial down the brightness. So it's not sucking as much energy as it is when you're using it as a TV. But it is still using a bit. We've never noticed. We've had some type of art TV in the house for years, and I've never noticed a spike on the energy bill. So I think it's negligible.
Do you leave them on all the time? Do they have a timer associated with it? Like I would, you know, I've gone on this solar kick over the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, and now I'm worried about every single watt in the house. I'm turning off lights right. all the time, right? Once you start realizing what you're burning, you know, you start like, oh my God, I can't have this light on. And Sarah's like, I just turned it on. Stop turning it off, right? But do you shut them off at night? I'm assuming they have timers and stuff.
Yeah, even better. They have motion detection. At least the Frame TV and the Frame TV Pro do. I haven't yet tested these other ones to find out, but typically they should have motion detection. And I like that because it'll shut them off if there's nobody in the room.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But once you enter the room, they switch back on. That was one of my beefs with the Frame TV, was that feature used to work quickly. So I could step into the living room and it was on like before I turned my head to sort of see if it was on. Whereas now it'll take a good 4 or 5 seconds for it to realize someone's like, I could even be dancing in front of it and it's, it'll still take 4 or 5 seconds to boot up. So it's not
a video. That's a video I want to see you dancing in front of the TV.
That'll be a new art TV test as part of every review from here on in. Aaron dancing in front of the TV.
We needs to make a video for sure.
Yes.
When I look at some of these screens, some of the textures look almost authentic. Is that trickery? Is it true?
I would say trickery more than anything. Most of them are just, you know, a smooth screen. They've all got these anti-glare coatings so that it looks more like a painting than, you know, a screen or a screensaver. But a lot of that texture you'll see on some of these paintings when you put them on your TV comes from the painting itself. So it's got more brush strokes in it. It's actually going to show up on the screen so that you can notice it. And it almost, you know, you almost want to touch it. They're pretty authentic.
No, I saw in the video, I saw like, yeah, you feel like, is that real? Like, you almost want to touch it to see, why am I getting that textured feeling, or at least for my eyes? Is it, but this, I know this is a TV.
Well, and that was me at CES with every TV. I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, can I touch it? And they're like, oh, yes, you can touch it, actually. Please go ahead. So, but you know, when they're like, please do not touch.
Every day they're cleaning them like once an hour from everybody, absolutely. Right? From everybody touching the screen.
Yeah.
Any clear leaders from CES in this space? I mean, certainly the Amazon one, you're ready to ditch Samsung, but yeah. Amazon one looked good. All the bezels are available. Boy, if that's not a consumer play. Like that is a sharp looking, easy. That separates $900 from your wallet super fast. Right now, if you're into art and you're displaying art on a regular basis, and I'm also assuming I can put any picture I want on these, right? I don't have to, it doesn't have to just be, okay, talk about that.
Like,
can I put the kids' pictures on there?
Yeah. So on most art TVs, you do get the ability to put your own art or your own photos or whatever you want to see on your screen. They almost all will come with, Samsung calls it an art store. So it's got, I don't know what they're up to now, like 10, 20,000 pieces of art. So you can't have everything or anything, but most of these TV manufacturers, and I think it was Hisense and LG in particular, they all make deals with, you know, galleries around the world and museums and stuff. So if you want Starry Night on your wall, it's in the art store. It's in the library. Okay. And once you've got a subscription to these services, you can pull anything you want from the subscription base. And I mean, I've never been disappointed with either the quality or the amount of art. And of course, it's all searchable. So if you want, you know, something blue to go with your new sofa, you can just search for the blue artwork. If you want photography as opposed to paintings, if you want old masters versus, you know, anime, like anything is available on it. Okay. And the interesting thing that I'll add about putting the art on the TV, it was TCL at CES has an AI powered art generator as part of its TV. So I thought this was really interesting. You can basically, I can't remember if it was talk or type it in, but you can tell the TV what kind of art you want and describe a scene and exactly how you want it to look and in what style. And it'll generate art for you for the TV that is a completely new and unique, bespoke, original piece of art, which you can then save as your own, you know, painting that you did, essentially. So I thought that was super interesting. And like, can you imagine, you know, if you've got young kids who are kind of artistic and it's like, you just want to sit there and talk to the TV and generate 100 new pieces of art in the next hour. Like that's kind of neat.
Or frightening, one of the two, you never, hopefully these are some safeguards and controls. Aaron, you know, Ed Sullivan, who, when you say you got to buy something, Ed buys it from the show.
Hi,
do you think Ed needs an art TV? He's redoing his basement, right? He's spending a little bit of money to get that done. Do you think an art TV, it should be the center of this new basement redesign or remodel?
I actually do. I think anybody that's doing a renovation and you're putting that much time and effort and care into your decor and creating like whatever your ideal space is, if it's like man cave or, you know, mid-century modern, if you're putting all of that time and effort and expense into making the space beautiful, an art TV is like the cherry on top of the room, because you don't just have this giant, you know, 65 or 85 inch black hole in the room. You can fill it with art and it literally disappears into the space. Or I shouldn't say disappears, because sometimes you want your art to stand out, but it blends into the space.
It looks like it belongs there, right?
Yeah, and, 100%. And
did I see in the videos, can you use it like a TV as well, right? These are all have TV enabled. I'm assuming the Amazon one's got Fire behind it, right? Doing all those kinds of things. So if you wanted to watch a football game on it, you could flip that from the art to the football, right? Get that done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, most of them have built-in software systems. There is Fire TV. LG uses WebOS, I think it is these days. Okay. So they've all got their own systems. And then as far as I know, they all also have the ability for you to connect an external streaming device, peripherals, gaming console, what have you. I mean, that we could have a whole argument there about how dangling cords from your art TV ruins the art TV aesthetic, but
if you're going to have your basement redone, you would have all the wiring, right? You would wire this
ideally in, yes,
right? I'm just saying it has to. And 55 and did I see a 65 or was it a 70 inch, those sizes that were available for these, is that, am I getting that right? Do you remember?
I think Amazon, I want to say, is starting its art TV launch with a 55 and a 65 inch. Okay. But a lot of these other TVs, Samsung, I think, goes down to 45 inches and up to like 85 or 90 inches or whatever that would be.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's quite a bit of variance.
Sorry, we're Americans and we talk inches, not centimeters.
No, we do in TVs as well.
Okay.
A 2,900 centimeter TV just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Doesn't seem the right thing. Well, Ed, I know you're listening, so you'll have to think about this in the
Ed, buy it.
He doesn't like it when you do that, because you know he's going to buy it for sure. Now he's like, "Dang it, I'm going to talk to him on Sunday," and he's like, "Dang."
Well, except now, I don't know. I don't know which one to advise him to buy, though, because, like I said, I'm friends off with Samsung right now with Samsung's Frame TV Pro.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance yet to try these other ones. So maybe Ed should just wait a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He could think about the spot where it's going to go, and then he could think about the wiring, because everything's coming off. So the wiring, putting the wiring in, right? Get that, get it ready.
He should have that. Art TV or no. I mean, nobody wants to see the cords dangling in the room anyway. So there should be conduit in the wall for that.
Get the contractor to put the power in everything you need, right? Right there. It doesn't mean much.
That's true. And then he's got time to decide and wait for full reviews.
But wait a minute. Hold on. You also have, let me show this. What's going on in the projector space? Like, should he be considering a projector?
Only if the room is completely dark.
Oh,
projectors are great. Okay. It is a basement. Yeah, that makes sense. As we can see, larger image size, lower cost per square inch. You can place them anywhere, and it's a little nicer to look at. It's a softer visual image for our eyes, not quite as bright as a TV. So there are good reasons to get a projector. But there are also problems with projectors. The brightness is not the same as with a TV. Generally speaking, you've got to have a solution for your audio, because the little built-in speakers are not great. And, you know, depending on where or how they're set up, like, you've got to have a plug nearby depending on where you place it. And there's some considerations for placement as well.
Yeah, what's the sweet spot for projectors at this point? I mean, like, where do they really fit in the ecosystem? Why would you, with as good as flat panel TVs are right now, why would you ever in a million years use a projector?
Well, the projector that we're looking at right now, the XGIMI Mogo 4 laser that I reviewed, this one has a bit of an interesting premise, actually. It's not just a projector. It's also like an ambient light and room device.
Hold on. This looks like, let me stop this. If you got to watch the video on this one, look at that picture. Is that not an original Amazon Echo device?
Oh, yes.
That is there.
It does look like it, doesn't it?
Right. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
Cylindrical, very cylindrical is what we're seeing.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, this projector, there's two things. You can buy add-on, filters That will clip over the lens and basically allow you to project like a sunrise, sunset, a moonscape, or like, you know, rippled colored water. So these magnetic creative filters that you can buy as part of the Mogo, the XJimmy Mogo 4, do actually give you some really cool options for also using your projector just to provide some nicer ambient light around the room. The other thing, the third thing this projector will do is if you kind of fold it closed, it comes with a built-in stand. So it kind of opens up and closes. You can fold it closed and it's got ambient light built into the projector itself as well. So it's got just sort of a soft glow, kind of like a nightlight. So if you did have it down in the basement, you could count on it for that little bit of ambient glow. Yeah. And it also works as a speaker. Harman Kardon did the audio for that one.
Oh, okay.
So the sound is actually pretty good and you can just use it as a portable audio speaker. And this whole projector has battery power. So take the whole thing anywhere and you've kind of got movie night in your pocket.
So Ed wouldn't need to do any wiring if he had this down in his basement, right? It would just, he could have it on a shelf somewhere and just shine it across the room. He's kind of a
mount
dark
it to
guy
the ceiling.
Anyways. Well, you could yeah. do that. What's the retail on something like this? I mean, where are we at?
I want to say it was around $800 or $900 and I forget okay. Canadian or US. So,
but similar
I've seen it on sale for a lot less. Yeah.
Similar to the yeah. TV, so to speak, maybe a smidge cheaper if you could find it.
I think so. Yeah.
Sale somewhere else. We, for the granddaughters, we bought the Starry Night things yes. that you write that, and they're not even in this category, right? But they're super cool to have. We built a shelf for them in our front room, and when it's dark you can turn those on and it puts a, you mm-hmm. know, puts a Starry Night thing up on the ceiling, and the granddaughters love yep. that kind of thing. I'm assuming you could do some cool stuff like that.
Oh,
this
you
well,
really
right?
can even and better. If you pop ahead, Jim, I don't know if you can forward yeah, ahead a yeah, little yeah, bit yeah, I went through all the examples of what each of those filters looks like, and I had the best time playing around with those filters. Roger and I really liked having it on in the room, and our favorite of the filters was there's a moonscape option, so you can choose any of the phases of the moon and just have that up on your wall. So it's kind of really nice to just have there.
I think we're close to, there we go. Okay. So
there's sunrise and sunset filters. There's one that will just sort of paint color across the whole room. It's called Dreamscape. Ripple gives you this kind of water-like effect with different color options. And then the moon lunar filter, I think is what they call the last one.
It
will just
cool.
project the moon
that,
on the wall.
That is my speed right,
right?
there. With the moon on the side of the wall.
It was wow. so fun. It was so fun.
That would be,
so
that
yeah,
be cool.
It was actually, that projector was really fun to review because it's not an average projector. It's not just TV no. on, TV off, and that's all you have to say. There's really so much more you can do with that projector that made it really fun to review and really yeah, interesting for people.
It's kind of beyond what we've been thinking of the, you know, the TVs or the monitors or, you know, those other kind of entertainment devices. We've kind of settled on, I mean, TVs have gotten really good. And so a lot of folks are just throwing a 72 inch or whatever TV in their living room or over their fireplace or on the big giant wall. And they're, you know, they're reconfiguring. What's really, really interesting is that's happened so fast that a lot of like apartments or even houses aren't really set up to have that big of a TV on the wall.
Right.
And then have couches or whatever you're going to sit on in a space that's convenient for it.
At the proper
and,
viewing
right,
distance.
Right. At the proper place. Right. We're just not kind of set up that way. And so it's causing people to do interesting seating gyrations.
Yes.
Of like, you're like, well, why is your couch that way? And you're like, well, because the 75 inch TV is up on the wall on this, and it was the only place we could put it because
yeah.
that was the biggest wall that we had.
The biggest wall, yeah,
yeah, yep. yeah. So it's
but
it's
that's positive. The XJimmy Mogo 4 that we talked about, that projector and the art TVs. Like this is all part of, I think, our desire to have these devices in our homes do more, and I'm seeing that with a lot of tech that's coming out. Is it's not just a projector, it's also like ambient lighted music, it's not just a 4K TV. It's also art for your home. Like, and I really like that. I think it makes these devices a lot more valuable and gives, you know, gives people more of a reason to want to invest in something like that.
I'd love that lighting in an outdoor setting where you might have a patio and in the evening you got a fire pit going and you're blasting that moon image or you're blasting star image up into the canopy of your backyard.
Oh yeah.
Right. Some of those, we've seen some of that kind of art at Christmas time, right? You can buy those things you put and it shines it against your house and it stars and whatever, right? On that kind of stuff. But that's interesting because it brings some ambiance, right, to what would normally be, you know, I mean, it just kind of
picks an ordinary it up, piece of tech.
Yeah, picks it up a little bit, you know, picks it up a little bit. And you could also play some rock and roll music out of the thing if you wanted to. Yes. Right? So does it sound pretty good? I mean, we say Harman Kardon, like they're a little beyond their prime to be honest, yeah. Right? But it still, did it sound pretty good?
I would say pretty good is a good way to put it. I mean, it's a device that's, you know, 5 inches in diameter. So you're already kind of limited by the space available with something like that. For what it is, it sounds quite good. And it's certainly better than, what was the first one I reviewed this, the Freestyle projector had a very small speaker in it. It was kind of tinny. So I think manufacturers have heard people saying like, you know, the picture is phenomenal, but the audio, and not wanting to splash out on a secondary speaker to try and connect to it or something else. So I think they're taking that seriously because not everybody's going to use these devices in their home with a surround sound set up and, sure. and, you know, connected sure. to an amp. So,
yeah. And I don't know why they just don't license Bose for some of that stuff. Like Bose is so good at what they do and they're good and they've been good and they continue to be good. And they just, maybe they just choose to play in a space where they can always win. But
yeah,
Bose speakers have just always been.
Bose is pretty great. I've reviewed quite a few of their speakers and headphones in the last 6 or 8 months and almost universally, like,
it's always good.
Dazzling.
Yeah. It's just always good. You never go like, oh, that's not very good. Like you're always like, whoa. And then you know what? You kind of forget. Like every time I have an outdoor, I have a Bose outdoor speaker we take out when we're out in the fire pit. You just play it. You forget. It's like even a thing. It's just playing so well in that space or whatever. The Bose headphones I bought these AirPod Pro 3s to kind of replace my Quiet Comfort 35s. Mm. I've had those for 5 or 6 years now. Having a hard time giving up those Bose. They sound so, and this is all the I bought them in the pre-AI or the pre-assistant, you know, Bose put the assistant in them just a few years ago. Not sure I'd want that, to be honest with you, in the headphones, but I'm having a hard time giving up my Bose. You know,
Well, that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's what I'm running tonight is the Quiet Comfort Ultra Buds 2.
And you've done both the AirPods and those, right? I'm assuming, are they, how close are they? Do you have something to say?
Oh my gosh. The Bose earbuds are probably my favorite earbuds of all time. I prefer earbuds generally, you know, if I'm working or traveling just because, you know, they're more compact and easier to go with. I had a real tough time with Apple AirPods, the first generation AirPods Pro that I had. I had one die and, you know, it was crackling and it couldn't work. And, you know, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. And I replaced it or reset it and, you know, eventually had to buy a replacement for it. And I was like, okay, great, that's fine. And then, you know, within a year I had to buy the other one to replace it. And I was still having problems like crackling and popping and the sound not being there and randomly disconnecting. And I was just so frustrated. I wasn't alone, actually. I did a video about it, Jim. And it's got hundreds of thousands of views. Comments. And the comments are just everybody, similar problems, same frustrations. Apple was not very responsive to my concerns about it and from what I read in the comments to other people's as well. So I think there was a lot of frustration with AirPods for a while. things may have improved, but since that time, I've also moved on. I've moved on to Bose, and it works fantastic for me. It works with all my devices. It's flawless. It's bug-free. It sounds amazing. Yeah. I'm just like, why would I go back to AirPods at this point?
Sure. No, sure. I skipped all of that. And when the Pro 3s came out, they have the translation stuff that if you have a 15 plus, iPhone 15 plus or above, you can use the translation piece. Uses both the phone and the AirPods for the translation bit. Both are listening, which is crazy to think, right? That both the phone and the AirPods are listening. And have been testing them out with some of our folks in both Brazil, so Portuguese, and in Mexico, in Spanish. And it's an incredible experience. Like I put them in. No, I haven't had any sound problems. I listen to them on Fridays. There's nobody at work. So I put them in on Fridays and rock out while I'm working in the office with nobody there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And the translation part has been hands down amazing. Yeah. Now in October, I'm going to Brazil for a week, and I'll get a chance for business purposes. I'll get a chance to put them in and try
amazing.
The real world. This is not,
I want to hear about that.
The group I'm hanging out with is not, they are not English speakers for the most part. Only 1 or 2% speak English, and maybe 1% are fluent in it. So it's going to be mostly Portuguese.
Oh, and interesting.
The question will be, can I get around?
Yeah.
You know, will this work from a, because there's a delay, and you know, you got to kind of figure some things out right from that standpoint. So I skipped all the crappy parts. Well, you know, with Microsoft, you wait till the third version anyway. So you do the same thing with Apple.
That is true. Like with the new OS that they were running on the iPhone, my husband Roger downloaded it about 3 weeks ago, 26? And has been having nothing but problems. I think it's 26.
So
I was like, okay, I'm going to wait, and I'm still waiting.
It's 26.2 right now. So you've got one more 26.3 when ask Roger when 26.3 comes out, you can make the jump. Apple does not often go to 3. They stick on 2 and then it'll be 2.1. You know, some of those kinds of things. But yeah, I've had a good experience so far with the Pro 3s.
Oh, good to know. And, well, I would hope that they've made some changes, that they've heard customer feedback and said okay, guys, we got it. But Apple doesn't typically like to admit that it got something wrong, potentially.
And what's been amazing with them, they're small enough. So at work, I put them in my ears, and then I have headphones. I have an Audio Technica big headset kind of thing that I use for video conferencing. And I put those on around those. And so the language is coming in and then going into the AirPods.
And
I can see it on my phone. I put my phone on the front of the desk, and I can see the translation coming through the phone. It comes in a written form before you hear it. So you can start reading what's coming in, and then it starts saying it. And listen, most of the time when we speak, we repeat, we say what we're going to say, and then we say it again. Right. And so with most people, by the time they've said it once, by the time they're saying it a second time, you're reading what they said the first time, and you're like, okay, I got this. They stop talking and you start, and they are amazed. Like really? You really? Cause they know I don't speak a lick of Spanish. I can say hola, right? But I don't speak no Spanish, no Portuguese. And it's,
and they know you're wearing this device. Like they know how you're doing it, but they're still impressed by the technology.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And Aaron, what's incredible with that is when they figure out they can speak in their own language to you, they speak much different to you than they would have when they were trying to speak English.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like I've had better meetings or better conversations because they're not having to translate in their head.
No hablan tan despacio, Jim.
Right. You know, it's a completely different experience. And from a human experience, when you can understand someone in their first language, whatever that is.
Yeah.
They're just different. They just speak differently. So it's incredible. Like I'm seeing folks that I've worked with for years from a whole different perspective now, because they get animated when they talk.
Yes.
They're not trying to translate it, right?
Yeah.
So this is the early days of that translation. And I think it's only going to get better from here. So I'm super excited.
I believe it.
Super excited.
I want to hear about your trip seriously when you get back. I really want to hear how that goes.
Well, speaking of that, let's really quick talk about, you got a chance to talk to someone at Amazon about the newest assistant piece that's coming on. Hold on. Let me bring this up really quick.
Alexa Plus.
Yeah. Alexa and it's been Plus. Weird. Talk a little bit about, give us a little overview of the conversation. We said the word.
We did. Oops. Sorry, everyone. And mine's going off too. Alexa, cancel.
Sorry, friends.
Yes. A plus, as we'll refer to it, is the newest iteration of a lady, as we used to say, as Mike Weegar used to say.
We should still continue to say.
Yes. But they've made some pretty significant improvements. It's based on sort of LLMs and, you know, like the ChatGPT kind of assistant where you can speak to it more naturally. A lot of people right now are getting prompted to update their speakers. If you've got one in the house, it may be saying, hey, do you want to upgrade to A+? I upgraded about a month ago or so now. And it's making a big difference. It's much easier to speak to it. It sounds much more natural. There's now, I think, four. You guys in the US might have more, but we've got four different voices here in Canada now that are not sort of the old-fashioned robotic version of A-Lady. So I actually really like the new voices because it sounds more like you're actually talking to a person. So that was fun. I got to do an interview with Amazon's Canada country manager about, you know, what people can expect from the new digital assistant. And it is supposed to be that more conversational assistant. It's supposed to learn more about you over time. And when you go to set up the new A+ assistant, it will ask you things like, you know, what's your favorite thing to eat? Do you eat certain foods? Like, are you keto? Are you kosher? Like, what do you do? And it wants to learn things about you. And then it retains that. So you can actually tell it things like you can tell it your, you know, your frequent flyer number or your husband's birthday and ask it to remember those things. And it will remember. And you can say, oh, hey, like, hey, A+, what was my, you know, what was my frequent flyer number again? And it'll tell you. So that's pretty cool. You can also, you can do things like email it. If you get a schedule from your kid's school and there's, you know, 22 dates on for things that you've got to remember. Before, you used to have to plug those into your phone one by one by one. Now you can email the whole thing to Alexa and just say, put all this in my calendar. And in a second, all of those calendar appointments are in your calendar. So there's some really, really significant improvements. With that said, it is still a work in progress. They're calling it Early Access Alexa Plus. And, you know, there are certain things that don't quite work as well as I think we're all hoping they will one day. It doesn't stack commands very well yet, I've been finding. So I can now do things like ask it to, you know, turn the kitchen lights on and turn the front porch lights blue. And it will do both of those things. Whereas before you used to have to say, hey, A, turn the kitchen lights on and then wait. Hey, A, turn the porch lights blue and then wait. Now it understands if the commands are related, it understands more than one command at one time. It's not yet good at things like, hey, A, turn the kitchen lights on and tell me what the weather is. It'll typically do the first thing you ask, but not the second. Yeah. So I think it's still working on that kind of stuff. But a lot of the new stuff that it does do, like the whole email your calendar, you know, to it, and it'll put it in your calendar for you, blew my mind. It worked really, really well. So I really enjoyed that. You can also integrate Apple Calendar now with Alexa Plus and Alexa. So I can say, you know, hey, Alexa, cancel. I can tell it to put things in my calendar for me without having to pull up my phone. I love that. So there's a lot of really good features, but it is still in. Alexa's like, we're going to make your life easier. Alexa, stop.
Unless you use the wake word, right?
I mean, right.
That, That is every Saturday morning. I podcast with Dave Jackson on Ask the Podcast Coach. And he has a timer set for 10 minutes before the show to remind him of some things. Now, I don't know why it's 10. He always is talking to me at 10 minutes right. before the show. So it goes off and then he's like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And it won't, you know, and he gets super frustrated with
yeah.
it. We have had it. I've had it. Oh, I don't know, a couple months now. I think we got in fairly early and you could almost hear it cut over to the new,
yes.
the new voice, the new functions, the new things. But you're right. It's still a work in progress. I've tried to have conversations with it like I have with ChatGPT or it's not close on some of those yeah. kinds of LLM conversations. It's not good at all.
Yeah.
Although some of those AIs are not connected to your home automation at all, which Amazon is, right? It yeah. has everything. Amazon has almost everything that I have that way. And so I can do those voice commands and get it to do those things that I want it to do. But you can hear it cut over. It's crazy. Every yeah. day, I shouldn't say every day, every week or every couple of weeks, you hear a new thing pop up. You're like, oh, that's a new, okay, that's
new
that's
feature.
And it's trying to prompt you sometimes too, right? It's like, hey, I can do this now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's very yeah. nice. That's nice. Thanks for telling me. Like, yeah. you know, it's trying to prompt you on some of those things. So yes, I spend so much time talking to AI these days
mm-hmm.
when I try to treat it like that.
Yes.
It fails. It just doesn't.
It is not that yet, no. but it's getting better. And even in the few weeks that I've switched over,
yeah.
I've seen it getting better at things. So, and yeah. maybe that's because it is learning and it's personalizing and it's, you know, understanding that when I repeat the same request, you know, it's starting to understand why.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but yeah. I think we're probably going to be in early adoption phase for, my guess is, a few more months yet. But yeah, I think, I mean, the technology is not going anywhere.
No.
And
no.
if we're going to have these devices in our homes, they do need to do more and to do better for us. So I think this is a really good, it's probably not a first step, but it's a good,
it's a step. It's
step listen, forward.
They come at this from a different direction, right? They were an order taking voice assistant before LLMs were out there. Then yeah. LLMs explode on the scene and they're playing a little bit of catch up, nor do they necessarily, I don't think they want to turn it into that kind of LLM thing because it's got other integrations as a part of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but just tonight I was cooking dinner with Sammy, my daughter, and I was trying to do something. I think we're trying to set music and I was right. like, hey,
yes.
What's your name? Like,
yeah.
Whoever you are, I couldn't between all the things I'm talking to that aren't human right. at this point, I was like,
yeah. You're like, which agent are you?
What's the right word? What are the right words? So I'm finding a little bit of that yeah. happening right from a wake word standpoint.
Well, and that's one of the good things I've noticed about this is it used to be you had to be very deliberate when you were speaking to it. Now, like there's a video on the channel on Aaron Lawrence TV on YouTube where I try out a lot of sort of the newer, kind of more exciting features. And, you know, you can say, hey, A+, you know, add milk to my grocery list. Oh, wait, actually, no, Roger got the milk the other day. So scratch that, add spinach, and oh, we do need some coffee creamer. And it used to be, again, that you had to say, hey, A, add eggs. Hey, A, add milk. Mm-hmm. And now it understands to the point where it'll not only get the order of things right and not put the stuff on that you said, hey, don't do that, scratch that, Roger got it. It'll go, hey, good to know Roger was on top of things and picked up the milk. So like... It's yeah. it's getting like
yeah.
cheeky and like almost yeah. becoming part of the family, right? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. There are some interesting things. I need to continue to probe it to see mm-hmm. what else it can do. I've never been a big calendar person. I'm not going to give up my calendar. So, but we are big lists. We're a big list family.
Yes.
So, you know, when you run out.
Do you go
of
out for dinner?
Not a lot anymore. It's gotten so expensive. We've been doing less of that because it'll make reservations for you, right?
It will. It'll integrate with Open Table, so you can not only say like, you know, where can we get in tonight at 6, and give you a list. It'll make the reservation for you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I tested that out in the video as well, and I was like, wow, this actually works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll have the links to all the things we talked about and more out at theaverageguy.tv posted in the show notes. Aaron, what you mentioned a few things, but what's coming up on the YouTube channel that you want to talk about?
Hopefully some of those Art TV reviews. I'm really excited about getting hands on with the Hisense Canvas TV, the LG Wallpaper TV in particular. I've got some more Ring devices, some more of those 4K devices, indoor and outdoor cameras coming that I'm sort of trying out in different scenarios. So if you are interested in that 4K camera technology, definitely check in on the channel as well. And I'm trying to think of what else. I've got some cool lighting options coming in, and there's going to be a whole slew of robot floor cleaners, robot window washer, and a robot lawnmower coming up, and maybe a robot pool cleaner if I can figure out a way to make that work. But
you have a pool?
Lots of robots coming up.
Do you have a pool?
I do not have a pool, but I might for this video.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah.
We'll see.
Those could be really handy. We had a pool for quite a while, and eventually the kids stopped swimming in it, and I got tired of spending $1,000 a summer.
You know,
all of a sudden I was like, you know, for $1,000, I could probably get a lot of pool passes, right?
Yes.
You know, for easily. I mean, that would have been a tenth of the price, but we got rid of the pool. But that, those pool cleaners could be really, really helpful to have from you know, being automated or a robot. We haven't cleaned the outside of our windows in a while. And I keep thinking like, you know, maybe it's time for a robot window cleaner. You've shown these a couple times that you've been on, and it's like, well, maybe it's time. Just stick it, and they stick together, and they
suction right to the window. And I'm spoiler alert, I'll give you this teaser. Ecovacs has a new one that is launching soon. I hope I'm not going to get myself into trouble they announced it at CES. But I've got the third generation. It's called Winbot W3. And just before the snowstorm, I got it delivered, and I was like, oh, I'm going to take it outside and wash the windows because they're filthy from this stormy winter. And this new window bot, it does such a good job. And the new thing with it is it will actually clean the pads that it uses to wash the windows. You take them off the robot, swap in a new pad, stick the dirty pad into the device, and it washes the pad while the other one's cleaning your windows. So it's like there's a little washing machine inside the robot.
It's like the shower that also washes your towel after you take a shower.
Exactly. I can't wait for this review to come out because it is so fun. And I tried the W2 version, which was the previous one. It is on the YouTube channel. If you go to Aaron Lawrence TV and search Ecovacs Winbot W2, I was blown away by how well it works. And it works on like your shower enclosures, like your windows, big and small. This was the robot I had no idea I needed, but I can't live without now. And the third version, after just a couple hours with it, I'm already blown away. So watch for that review.
I'm going to watch for it because that would actually be super, you know, I want to do a robot lawnmower, but I like to mow my lawn. I mean, I like I like it. So I haven't been able to pull the trigger on something like that. I got super close on the Yarbo, you know, I was like this would be awesome. Is the snow, like how cool would it be if the Yarbo is out there clearing right now, you and I talking
minus 20,
making millions of dollars, and it was out there. It was out
I would
there.
Love to get my hands on a Yarbo.
I know,
I will I know. Try one of these days.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have it doing that. Now, hey, wait a minute. One more thing. Ecovacs, they have pets? Is that what I saw on your site? What's going on?
They
Is this a little Uncanny Valley? What's going on there?
They do have a robot dog that they announced at CES. The dog's name is Milo. It's more of a robot companion. So it's not kind of a dog that's going to walk all over your house and follow you around and, you know, fetch you things from the fridge. But what it's designed to do is it's got these little eyes that I think there's cameras behind them. So it can read your expression and respond to you. So, and it's got sensors. So if you're scratching it or like patting its head, it'll make noises that it's happy. And, you know, it's designed to respond to your moods. And if you're, you know, if you're down or feeling sad, it's kind of there to cheer you up and be a little companion pet that you don't have to pick up after.
Those eyes are a little creepy.
They're cute. They're cuter in person than maybe it sounds like I'm all describing them. No, they've done something really cute with it that, you know, they're going to sell little outfits for it. Cause I know a lot of people like to dress their dogs up. So you can buy little doggy clothes for Milo and
Milo is his name.
Milo.
Okay. Ed, that might be another thing. Ed's got a dog. Ed has a dog. He has a real dog.
I do too. And I would actually be very interested to see how Milo reacts to my dog, if it can tell, and how my dogs would react to Milo.
That would be interesting.
See if they Milo might... has all his limbs when we're done.
I was going to say, your dogs are big and they would just grab Milo and shake it a couple times.
They might.
And that would be the end of Milo. Listen, yeah. I have a real cat that doesn't even like me. I mean, he kind of does, but every time I come home from work, he treats me like he's never seen me before. Mm. You know, and you're like, I'm like, hey, I come home, I'll pet you. Gonna run away.
Nope.
Gonna act like I've been abusing him. You're like, come on. So I don't know. Maybe this Milo is not such a bad thing. Maybe he would come over and jump. Does he walk around? Does he walk around the house? Is it that, or is it?
No, he doesn't move around. He's stationary. You can carry him and bring him around with you. Okay. And he moves his head and his tail, like his tail will wag, but he does not walk from what I saw.
Okay. No, I want him to walk around. So maybe
you need one of those General Dynamics robot dogs. Well, those instead. Are creepy. The ones that can actually open the doors too.
They're creepy. They're going to kill me. That will be, I'll say something and then it'll come over and just snap my neck and that's it. That'll be the end. I think those are the Terminators, by the way, of the future is those General Dynamics or those Boston Dynamics. But
let's hope those don't get AI enabled.
No. Could you imagine those things with a sharp object? Like, yeah. They're jumping backwards and flips. Exactly.
Oh, wait, there's Milo.
That's right. That's right. Oh, exactly. Aaron, where did you go? Why are you bleeding? Why are you bleeding out?
Oh, dear goodness.
I don't know. Well,
Milo is friend, not food.
That's true. And hopefully these robot companions will continue to be friends and not foes in that.
Yes.
And they'll continue to serve us. Can you stay around a second while I close this thing up? Is that okay? A couple reminders on the way out. So if you want to join the Discord group and continue the conversation, head over to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. You know that's Christian. Get information about that and his plans that start as little as $10 a month. It's still, he's fighting inflation like nobody's business. Doge, nothing. Christian, everything. So that's the way it works. Check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. I say that, and then I think I'm taking next week off. But with that in mind, we're live most Thursdays. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. As Aaron, as always, thank you for being a guest tonight. I appreciate it. What's the best place for folks to find you? We've mentioned a whole bunch of different places. What's the best place for them to find you?
Definitely on the YouTube channel. You can find me at Aaron Lawrence TV on YouTube. If you would like to get on my mailing list, you can email me at Aaron@AaronLawrenceTV.com. I will be more than glad to put you on my mailing list if you send me an email there. And you can also find me on Instagram at AaronLYYC.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll have those all in the show notes. For those listening live, thanks for coming out. For those listening on the podcast, thanks for listening. With that, we'll say goodbye.
Screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.